selling lies and buying time, killing people next in line, lower classes, social slime, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, censorship, force of air, fuck them back, it's only for they war, they shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape, they burn, the kids, no one makes gun, trees, lie, to your face, fight, and die, this God will give. Buying time, killing people next in line, lower classes, social slide, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, see their shit, force a bear, fuck them back, that's only fair, they bomb, they shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape, they burn, the kids, no one makes gun, trees, lie, to your face, fight, and die, cause God forgives, yeah.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. This is Rock the Boat right here on UCY.TV, the best little network on the internet. It is the 11th of April, 2017, and we're going to do this show for the next hour. Before I get into this, where is that story? Oh, where the heck did I see that story? Ooh. Let me just see if I can dig it up here. Here it is. If you're looking for a new business, before I get into the gloom and doom of the everyday affairs going on in the world, if you're looking for getting into new business because it's all about environmental and about good food, and this isn't a bad idea, I suppose, but this is a new business that was started up in Alberta, and it's called the Urban Chicks is the name of the company. And so now you know, the food quality in the stores is getting worse by the day. So Megan Wiley, who runs the Urban Chicks with her mom out of her parents' Millerville farm, about an hour southwest of Calgary. You start this up anywhere, I guess. Just go to your local municipality and say you want to be green, and people should be allowed to have a chicken. And so what these people did was they started a business, and it's called Urban Chicks. And what they do is they supply you with two chickens to start with. You get a chicken coop, organic feed, grit and oyster shells, the feed dishes, and some cleaning supplies. So they supply basically everything you need to look after the chickens. So a standard package starts at $4.50, while each additional chicken costs $75. Now that's pretty good change for a chicken. You know, $75 for a chicken, that's pretty good turn, like pretty good markup. But you have these people who are of the environmental cult, but it's not even them. I mean, we do need to eat better food, and these are organic chickens, organic food, and you're supplied with everything you need to look after the two chickens, and two chickens should supply you with enough eggs, I suppose. But then you can get an additional chicken for $75. And Calgary bylaws do not permit backyard chickens, but Wiley says customers from neighboring municipalities, including Turner Valley, Black Diamond, High River, Okotoks, and Red Deer, it's all quite fine. So they're warm weather rentals, okay? Because I lived in Alberta, and it gets damn cold out there in the winter, and you don't want your chicken frozen to the coop. So what these people do is they bring your coop in, set it up in your backyard, I guess, and give you a couple of chickens and the supplies you need for the chickens. And then you get to look after the chickens and get your fresh organic eggs. And that's not a bad idea. The business idea hatched a few years ago after Wiley's cousins saw a similar rental business in Toronto. She came home and knew that we have chickens and said, you guys should start doing this here. Everyone would love it. And that's what they did. So I will put the link in here. And the customers keep the chickens for the spring and summer, and Wiley picks them up back up in October. Hens lay eggs less frequently in the winter and aren't as fun to take care of in the cold. You have to heat the coop, you have to make sure the water is not frozen, feed them in the cold. Cleaning up their poop is not fun when it's all frozen to the ground, and you have to chip it, she says. So that's a convenience we offer to our customers, that they don't have to do all that. We'll do that for them. Customers also receive a care manual and a laying guarantee, which means that if a hen stops laying eggs, the urban chicks will pick up the non-laying hen and replace it with a new one. And apparently chickens are a lot of fun. They like little puzzles and games and things to peck at. Repeat customers who get attached to their chickens can request the same birds the next year. We leg brand them so you know who's who, Wiley said. Customers discover chickens are quite the pet, says Wiley. They're actually fairly trainable. They like the same sort of enrichment activities that you would buy for a pet bird from the bird store, little puzzles and games and things to peck at. Interest in the rent-a-chicken business has been strong, with about 20 customers signing up last year. We're actually limited to renting out to about 20 coops a year ourselves, just because it gets too many. If we get too many chickens, they lose that farm lifestyle, Wiley says. We can provide a good life for them where they can roam freely, peck for bugs in the garden, and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, if you're in an area where you have urban dwellers, I think that's what they call them. They used to just call them people, but now they have names for everything. They may even have gender-associated urban dwellers now. I don't know. But it's actually not that bad of an idea. You know, if you like animals and you're half-ass handy with your hands, and you could run a little side business with the chickens. I'll just stick this in the chat. I found it. It was a nice change from the crap that I usually have to look at, which we're going to start looking at again here shortly. But give it some look. You know, I didn't know you could train a chicken, but apparently you can. You know, maybe there's a market for guard chickens. I know geese and that can get right snarly, maybe little chickens, and don't enter, beware of chicken. And if you're not an idiot, maybe we'll fry you an egg while you're here. All kinds of things you can do with that. Anyways, for those who are of the organic nature want fresh, real eggs, then that might be something you would be interested in looking into. Now, apparently, uh, apparently the gas prices in Toronto are starting to skyrocket. And I don't know what this, I'm going to look at this first. This is a world story. I don't even understand this headline. Syrian government continues to drop barrel bombs. Now, I don't know what a barrel bomb is. Government forces dropped several barrel bombs in the southern city of Dara. It looks pretty messy to me. The British-based Syrian Observatory for Human Rights said the fighting in Dara erupted Monday when rebels attacked a government-held area. Excuse me, in the city center, it said 16 pro-government fighters, including an army colonel, have been killed. Yada, yada, yada. This just looks like Syrian shit to me. The evacuations will be the latest in a string of population movements that have reshaped the demographics of the country. The government has used sieges to force populations opposed to its rule out of the broad swaths of the country's largest three cities. The UN has said the forced displacement amounts to a war crime. And of course, makes for more migrants and refugees to be coming our way. Let's see. This is what I love about the police forces. It says I might be interested in this story. Who knows? Now, what do you get for firing 23 bullets into somebody's car? I know what we would get if we fired a pellet gun into the side of a car, but what does a Toronto cop face in retribution for firing 23 bullets into a car? Constable Tash Bihati fired 23 rounds into a car engine midday in the distillery district, has been docked 7 days' pay by the police disciplinary tribunal. A Toronto officer convicted for misconduct after firing 23 rounds into a stationary car in the distillery district has been sentenced and docked 7 days' pay last fall. Constable Taj Biadi pleaded guilty to one count of insubordination in the instance, which took place on September 6, 2015, when he opened fire at midday into the hood of a stolen silver sedan near Parliament Street and Mill Street following a car chase. Biadi, a Toronto officer of 8 years, was captured on video, repeatedly firing his gun into the engine compartment of a car driven by Edward Skodowski, 60, who has a lengthy criminal record and history of dangerous car chases, although officers did not know his identity at the time. Firing a gun at a car solely to disable it is banned by Toronto Police Service's firearms procedure. The actions of Constable Biadi in a densely populated area at the time of day, when there were many members of the public nearby, created a significant risk to the public safety. The hearing officer, Inspector Hudos, wrote in a decision released Monday, noting the incident generated widespread media coverage that damaged the reputation of the Toronto police. But you see, these people, they never end up in a court. Okay? The hearing officer, okay? The hearing officer was Inspector Richard Hegedus, wrote in a decision. Well, wait a minute. He's not a judge. He's the inspector. So the police do what? They police the police. Now, if you or I pumped 23 shells into a car that was standing still, I think we would likely be facing somewhat more of a fine and incarceration than 7 docked days, especially when you broke the law, because it's against the law for the police to shoot at a vehicle in order to disable it. Hegas said Biadi was responding to a dynamic and dangerous situation and he and his fellow officers were acting in the public interest, trying to apprehend a dangerous offender in circumstances where their personal safety was at risk. So Constable Yaddy was engaged in the performance of his duty. He selected an authorized and unsafe means to do so. There were other actions could have taken that did not involve the discharge of the firearm. The firearm discharges and the circumstances were permitted, according to the agreement. Agreed statement of facts, Biotti, a member of Downtown 51 Division, was among several officers responding to a call reporting a stolen vehicle in the area around Bond and Shutter Streets. There was a brief chase, which ended with the stolen car collided with a Toronto police cruiser on Mill Street, partially pinning the stolen vehicle. Officers unsuccessfully attempted to gain control of Skodonsky through the open driver's side window. In interviews with Toronto police professionals, standard investigators, and other officers on the scene, they believed the car was not fully pinned and could break free, possibly posing a safety risk. Responding to the scene, Biotti was positioned almost directly in front of the car and said the car was revving as he pulled out his gun, realizing he did not have a clear shot at the driver. Biotti decided to use the gun to stop the car. What the hell are you going to shoot the driver for? You got a bunch of cops around. The car is pinned. It ain't going nowhere. He couldn't get a clear shot at the driver. So he was willing to kill the driver of the car, apparently. But he killed the car instead. He aimed away from the driver and other officers and fired 14 rounds from his pistol. The engine reloaded and fired 9 more rounds into the engine. Tunnel vision had kicked in, he said. I'm like, this has got to stop now, the officer told investigators, adding that he felt the need to fire the second series of shots because he believed the car still needed to be disabled. Now, this is a problem with cops. You got tunnel vision kicked in, he says. He's angry at the car. He's angry at the situation. He's lost complete control of his faculties. You shoot 14 shots into the front end of a car on a busy street with people milling around, and then you're that far gone that you figure, oh, Jesus, I may not have killed it yet. I better shoot it 9 more times. This is lunacy. And he gets docked 7 days' pay. He ought never, ever, ever to have the capacity to get his paws on a gun again. But he got 7 days' suspension. During the police disciplinary hearing, the prosecution called Biotti's actions serious misconduct to place the public at risk and asked for a loss of 12 days' pay. Ooh. Each shot had the potential to ricochet and kill or injure the suspect, fellow officers, members of the public, or Constable Biotti himself. Read a summary of the prosecution's arguments in Hades' decision. Biotti's lawyer, Peter Thorning, said the officer was a valuable officer and had served in the military, spoke 4 languages, and had received numerous accolades and commendations, including for disarming a threatening man who was armed with a knife. In his submissions, Thorning argued a reprimand, the lowest form of punishment under the Police Services Act, was sufficient. Biotti had no doubt violated a policy, but it was an instinctual act performed in a quickly unfolding, dynamic situation. I don't know what's dynamic about it. You got a car that's pinned up against a cruiser, ain't going no place, and it was an instinctual act. Now, how shooting a car 23 times is an instinct is a very spooky, to say the least. So authority characterized the incident as a conscious decision to disable the car and eliminate the threat, and added that Biotti was acting out of self-preservation and to protect the public. Since the incident, Biotti has attended a one-day remedial training program, which means that we should all become cops. Because I have talked to every agency in my province of Ontario, including the Commissioner's Office for the OPP and the Ministry of the Attorney General, and the Ministry of Corrections and Safety, and the Premier's Office, and the conclusion is that the police the police. So how are you supposed to hold these people accountable. Well, they're not accountable. Why are they not accountable? Because they took an oath to serve the Queen, which is the corporation, and their job is to protect the corporation. You and I, on the other hand, are the accounts, which means we are accountable, we are liable, and we are chargeable. And this is why we have to put up with this nonsense. I'm just going to see if I can't dig out the video here real quick and see if it's if there's a video of this thing, because I never even heard of this before. Happened back in 2015. It must not have been in too much of the news, or I think I would have come across it or seen it, although I don't see a video here. Nope, I don't see a video. Is it a... I do not see a video. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Maybe it'll pop up here. Maybe we'll get a video. If we get a video, I'll give you this one. Come on, where's the damn video? I got blockers on my I don't see this coming up here with no video. You may end up getting it. I'm still running on XP, so things are getting a little weird. Let me see. Am I not going to get... Let me try and reload that one more time and see if it pops a video. But this is truly why we should all be, why we should, this seems like the video is missing them to me. Well, I'll throw this in and, you can see if you can get the video. I'll put it back to the original story. There's picture, but third paragraph down, there's a link to was captured on video, unless that's just a story, but it looks like there should be a video there, but for some reason they open it up with my browser. I'll stick that in there. Another ludicrous story that if you're the police, you ain't got a whole hell of a lot to worry about. You can do some pretty nasty crap and get away with it. And that's quite bloody unfortunate, to say the least. Where was I on that? Forward on that. And see. This is the same story. I'd like to see that that video. But anyways, I did have the SIU here, which is a special investigation unit. When police rape or rip your arm off or shoot you dead, there was supposed to be the oversight on the police, but it's just like an ombudsman outfit or something. They have absolutely no teeth. It's just there because there's so many bad things happening with the police, and the public was getting really ticked off that they came up and created the SIU, which does nothing more than cost you more money, but they have no teeth. And when they were here, they agreed they have no teeth. They also agreed they don't like the OPP at all, the way they're behaving. Not much they can do with it, I guess. Now, there's also the story, which seems to be getting a fair bit of airplay, and about the United Airlines passenger being removed by security because they overbooked the flight. Now, I see some stuff flying around that, well, this guy was basically a he's a doctor or something, but then people are saying, well, yeah, but he was a disbarred doctor or something. Well, not quite totally disbarred, but using that as some kind of a reason that it didn't matter that this guy got hauled off the plane the way he did, and that's just stupid. The man dragged from a United Express flight by airport police in Chicago is a Kentucky physician who was convicted more than a decade of felony charges involving his prescribing of drugs and spent years trying to gain his medical license. Wait a minute. This story is about a man who was dragged off a overbooked plane in Chicago. And it doesn't matter if he was a Kentucky physician. It doesn't matter that he was convicted a decade ago of felony charges involving his prescribing drugs and spent years to regain his medical license. This is how these newspapers write this crap. The simple story is a man was dragged from a full United Express flight by airport police in Chicago. End of. The rest of it doesn't matter. But while the passenger's unflattering history quickly became the focus of attention, which it did in this article, there's no indication that his past influenced how he was treated or that the airline or police were aware of his background. Well, then why is all of this in the story? So far, all we've got is a man was dragged from full United Express flight by airport police in Chicago. The next line don't matter. The next paragraph don't matter. And it's unlikely that officials would have known anything about him other than basic information such as name and address, if that. It doesn't even say why he was dragged off the plane yet. Meanwhile, the airline issued a more contrite apology Tuesday and pledged to conduct a review of the company's practices that led to the events. What events? Airport police in Chicago dragged a man off a full airplane. We go through all this crap. Doesn't even say it was overbooked. And we're halfway through this story. Well, no, well, this goes on for a while now. But this is how they write this garbage. No one should ever be mistreated this way, said Oscar Manos, chief executive of United's parent company. A person with knowledge of the Sunday evening flight who was not authorized to publicly release the information told the Associated Press that the passenger was David Dale, 69, of Kentucky. He did not return messages from AP. Screaming can be heard on the videos, but nowhere is Dale seen attacking the officers. In fact, he appears relatively passive, both when he was dragged down the aisle of the jet and when he is seen standing in the aisle later saying quietly, I want to go home, I want to go home. When cell phone videos taken by the passengers first submitted, it generated widespread sympathy for Dale's sharp criticism for the airline. Twitter used the platform to poke fun at the airline tactics. We overbooked, but you pay the price. We put the hospital in hospitality, and we will drag you all over the world are among the faux slogans being offered up on social media under the new airline's mottos. The incident risked a backlash against United from passengers who could boycott the airline as the busy summer travel season, yada, yada, yada. There's really no mention in here of why this happened. This is a full freaking page story here. His legal troubles started in 2003. What in the hell does this have to do with pulling him off an overbooked plane? This is freaking amazing. Well, there you go. So much for United. I understand that their stock has dropped dramatically since this happened. And this is why I think we're having all this negative news on the gentleman himself. Bum, 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 bum. Well, this world's falling apart, man. You know, there's no real. You know, there was that nonsense going on for a bit about fake news, you know. And the media's all, well, we're not fake news. Well, you certainly aren't real news. And not only are you not real news, you never bring anything forward that should be brought forward, like the corruption called government. We don't bring that forward. The media keeps telling people about the right-left political system, but you know, this is let's see. North Korea warns U.S. it's ready for war. Duh. Oh my God, we got to bomb North Korea. This reminds me when I was a kid, you know, always being, they would do that constantly. The doomsday clock is now at 5 minutes to midnight. Why? Well, because somebody wanted Russia to do something, they didn't want to do it, or this or that, or somebody farted in a boardroom somewhere. And be scared, always be scared. You're not scared yet, try this. China tops global executions while U.S. numbers drop. Spicer says, White House spokesman Sean Spicer tells reporters, you had someone as despicable as Hitler who didn't even sink to using chemical weapons. And then I saw another story later. Oops. Apparently he did. Trump versus Kim is a showdown with no winners, says Berman. America is passing the torch. China is ready to take it, says Berman. I don't know who this Berman guy is. Must be some spokesman. Trump versus Kim. North Korea nuclear missile tests and American anger combined with two unstable leaders could spell peril. Events in recent days have shown us that the risk of a nuclear war over North Korea ranks as perhaps the greatest threat to peace in the world today, as the drumbeats of war are getting louder. Ooh, I thought the environment was the biggest problem. Well, that was yesterday. Sorry. Today, it's the threat of nuclear war between the United States and North Korea. We have a deeply unpopular leader with access to nuclear weapons, clearly paranoid and out of his depth, mired in self-inflicted controversies at home and abroad, obsessed with enriching himself and his family, hobbled by his own emotional insecurities, and increasingly exposed as a bumbling authoritarian who is desperate for some wildly dramatic move that would show the world he's a man of action. Written by Tony Berman, foreign affairs columnist. And that's just the American side. Ha 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 ha. That's too funny. So this this paragraph was aimed at Trump. Ha ha. That's just too, this is screwed up. That's just the American side. North Korea, Kim Jong-un, or Young John, or whatever it is even worse. Sadly, I didn't intend this as a joke. The fact is that Donald Trump and Kim make for an explosive mix. During a visit to South Korea earlier this month, Rex Tillerson, Trump's Secretary of State, announced what appeared to be a dramatic change in American policy towards the nuclear threat of North Korea. What happened to the North? What happened to Iran? Thought they were the big threat. Since the diplomacy of the past 20 years has failed, he warned a preemptive military action against North Korea is now on the table. Tillerson's warnings reflected the U.S. government's worry that Kim's renegade regime is accelerating its nuclear program. Since his confirmation, the former head of Exxon has been heavily criticized for his performance. Until his Asia trip, Tillerson had been virtually invisible and seemingly shut out of most of Trump's major foreign policy moves. In a rare media interview during his trip, Tillerson revealed he had never met Trump before being offered the job. He also admitted that I didn't want this job, and we took it because his wife said that God wanted him to. Tillerson warning about North Korea was his first high-profile act as America's top diplomat. Although North Korea is banned by the United Nations from conducting long-range missile tests, its stated goal is to develop an intercontinental ballistic missile equipped with a nuclear warhead, which could reach the American mainland. Experts say that North Korea may get to this stage in the next few years. Ooh, I better get under my desk. Just like they told me when I was in public school as a child. If Russia bombs the West, you just jump under your little wooden desk there and put your hands behind, you know, put your hands behind your neck and or behind your head there, and you'll be fine. But be fair, be afraid. Always be afraid. So we're going to get a lot of this nonsense going on now. Everybody's going to weigh in on this nonsense. North Korea may get to that stage in the next few years. Well, I better start worrying about it today. And we better not wait a few years. We better ramp something up. We bombed the shit out of everything else. And we still haven't bombed the shit out of Korea, so North Korea, so what do you say? This nuclear challenge has confronted several American presidents since the 1990s. Wait a minute, since the 1990s? I thought up here it says North Korea may get to this stage in the next few years, and we've been freaking out about it since the 90s? It also has frustrated China, North Korea's neighbor and chief economic benefactor, which potentially stands to lose the most if the Korean Peninsula descends into chaos. This sudden reference by Trump's administration to the possibility of preemptive military action against North Korea has rattled the region. There are few informed analysts who see this option, if pursued, as anything but a certain catastrophe. Damn, and I've been worrying about the global temperature rising to plus 2 degrees Celsius over the next 100 years. I haven't slept in 10 years because I'm worried it could happen tomorrow, because they always tell me it could happen tomorrow. It could happen in 100 years, but could happen tomorrow too. So now I have to be worried about the chaos of the nuclear war. This sudden reference by Trump administration is to the possibility of preemptive military action against North Korea has rattled the region. There are a few informed. Okay, I see this. North Korea's nuclear arsenal is thought to be widely dispersed throughout the country. No single military strike could destroy it. North Korea has an even larger stockpile of chemical and biological weapons, and allies believe an attack would give Kim's regime ample time to hit back immediately at neighboring South Korea and a U.S. military bases in the region. The potential death roll from such a conflict could be breathtaking. South Korea's capital city of Seoul has a population of more than 10 million. and is only about 50 kilometers from the border. Such an attack would likely lead to what most experts believe would be the worst case scenario for the region. The complete collapse of the North Korean government, that would be seen by neighboring China as an existential threat to its security and would risk a wider war between China and the United States. Rather than a preemptive strike, what is needed is increasing economic and diplomatic pressure in tandem with China to rein in the North Korean regime. However, the Trump factor is an entirely new element in this high-stakes drama. The shocking revelations in Washington this past week have placed Trump's bizarre relationship with Russia in a far more serious light. There are increasing signs that Trump and his colleagues not only benefited in the election from Russian efforts to destabilize American democracy, they may have actually colluded with the Russians during the campaign. For the first time, we can wonder whether this president will even complete his term. When cornered under threat and under threat, we know that North Korea's Kim Jong-un is capable of reacting in a dangerous and irrational ways. After all, we've learned this week, why shouldn't we assume the same of one Donald Trump? Tony Berman is a former head of Al Jazeera English and CBC. Excuse me. Tony Berman is former head of Al Jazeera English and CBC News. And they're talking about fake news. Holy crap. People read this shit. I mean, this is in the Toronto Star newspaper, the biggest circulation newspaper, I think, in the entire freaking country. And they read this garbage. They know nothing about North Korea. They know nothing about China. They know nothing about Donald Trump. They know nothing about nothing. The average person who reads a newspaper knows nothing about nothing. Because if they knew anything about anything, they wouldn't be reading a stupid rag. I read it just to see what they're reading. And hopefully, while I read some of this stuff, for those who do read it that don't know anything, hopefully I can help them understand what the hell it is they're actually reading. Because this is just ludicrous nonsense. Wow. Kind of makes the rented chicken story seem perfectly normal, doesn't it? Unless it's a plot to install jihad chickens in our communities. How do you know they're laying eggs? Maybe they're laying little white bombs. Maybe it's some kind of toxic gas. Who knows? I better phone Tony Berman and find out if he wants to do a story on it. I'm sure he would. Man, this makes the news. This makes the news that they used to do on... Saturday Night Live way back in the 70s. I haven't watched Dick all TV for, I never watched much TV. I watched Saturday Night Live a few times. They used to have the newscast. This is just as ridiculous as anything else I've ever seen. Okay, now what's this story about here? Let's see here. Okay, let's go with this one. Ban all travel at troubled York board. Report to recommend. Reviewer sent in by Education Minister astounded by trustees' lack of concern, sources say. Now, this is York Region, which is chasing down Michael Schmidt, the raw milk farmer in Durham, Ontario. It's one of the ones that are trying to bring an injunction against him for delivering raw milk into the area to the people who actually owned the farm. York Region trustees and senior staff, including the Director of Education, should be banned from all international travel amid growing concerns about where they are going and why many have made repeat trips, says a report to be released Tuesday on the scandal-plagued public school board. Sources told the Star the two ministry reviewers were ordered to probe the troubled board found trustees' lack of concern for the use of public funds astounding. A full moratorium is one of the many recommendations of a much-anticipated report by Patrick Case and Sue Herbert that will touch on a number of controversies first reported in the Star around the board's inaction on issues of racism, Islamophobia, as well as a worsening culture of fear within the organization. The reviewers heard concerns from many. I just got a Skype there. I just took a quick look at it. So where are these guys going to? If I can see if I can find this out. I would think this has a lot to do with some 15 people went to London, taxpayers' dime in 2015, including the board's communication finance director. Been traveling all over Europe, Finland, New Zealand, London again. Why is the board of the York Regional School Board flying all over the place? I'll tell you why. I don't think it says in here, but I'll tell you why. They're flying around all these places to find out how to implement Islam into the school system. It's exactly what they're doing. And they should all be strung up. You know, there's another business that somebody may want to get into. I mean, this idea of the chicken rental is pretty cool. Gallo rentals now. That's mobile gallo rentals might be a real upstart, and it may be a real growth business, because as this drags on here, and as people come to understand what actually is going on in our nations, I think we're going to probably have to put fear into them instead of them attempting to put the fear into us. Let's see. York board parent files human rights complaint after a racial slur. Yes, somebody used the N-word, I think. And which is kind of weird, you know, because we're all niggers, really. We're black niggers and white niggers and yellow niggers. And we're just niggers because we're the accounts. That's just the way it is. We're run by lawyers. And that's a given. And we need to get rid of them things. We most definitely got to get rid of the lawyers. We most definitely got to get back to law. We most definitely got to get away from all of this nonsense. What we need to do is we need to concentrate our own countries, which are falling apart, and deal with that. But then that's not the plan. The plan is the death of nation states. So just the way it is. What else we got here? Is there anything in here? I don't believe how much this story has changed. Man dragged from United, this is a different paper. Man dragged from United flight identified as Kentucky doctor with a felony conviction. Now, my understanding from what I watched earlier was that this all came from them asking people to volunteer to get off the plane because the damn thing was overbooked. Now it's turned into this guy who apparently had felony charges, which I don't think had a damn thing to do with anything else other than they'd overbooked. So now they're looking for a scapegoat. How likely is war with the U.S.? I don't know. How likely is it? Let's see. How likely is war with the U.S. and North Korea? In the United States, this is a different story. This story's out of Tokyo. The United States and North Korea are engaging in high-tension brinkmanship, with North Korea warning Tuesday that it will hit the U.S. first with nuclear weapons, but the prospects that this could escalate into an actual clash of arms are slim. Well, that's not quite as frightening as the other story I read from the guy who was from Al Jazeera and CBC News. The stakes, though, do remain high, too high for both countries, an analyst said today, as they were yesterday, as they were last year. But the temperature in the region has become decidedly hotter in recent days. Not recent years, but just days. Somebody farted in the boardroom and somebody's ticked off, and oh my goodness. Expectations are mounting that North Korea will unleash some kind of provocation this week, and the U.S. Navy rerouted an aircraft carrier strike group capable of both firing missiles and shooting missiles down to the Korean Peninsula over the weekend. On Tuesday, President Donald Trump issued his latest tweet, taking aim at Pyongyang. North Korea is looking for trouble. If China decides to help, that would be great. If not, we will solve the problem without them, USA, he tweeted. My attitude towards Pyongyang, if you going to go and see what they really do have planned for the West, I think that's as good a place as any to go look at. I think that North Korea was actually set up as a template, really, for the utopia that they would like us all to be under. Pyongyang is a very clean city, but you don't see much traffic. You don't see much private vehicles on that on them roads. They have the buses, they have the subway, and really, the videos I watched of the place is, you really don't see much for private vehicles on the road. The road vehicles you do see are the buses and mostly repair vehicles, you know, government vehicles, and so on and so forth. That's basically what I saw. And they, you know, they use Earth Day. They fly over North Korea and the thing's dark, and that's good for the environment. the government is renting out their people to international corporations and basically slave trading them. So that the corporations can use the labor at very low rates, of which the money goes back to the government, and the corporation obviously gains because they don't have to pay regular wages in that. So when I look at North Korea, and I looked at it pretty closely a few years ago, and I'm thinking, you know what? This looks like the template, the environmental template that they want to bring in, because one of the things that is not sustainable here in the West and anywhere, actually, according to the United Nations documents, is private property. Private property is not sustainable. What else is not sustainable? Private vehicles. And what do they want you to do? They want you to use basically no water and no electricity. Well, Jesus, this is really starting to look like North Korea. So, you know, will they bomb North Korea? Will North Korea bomb America? No. No, they won't. They may try to kick up a little shuffle there just for show. If you're fearful of a nuclear weapon coming from Korea landing in your backyard, I think you can sleep well knowing that's not going to happen. But this is the same garbage, you know, ever since the United Nations was formed with the idea of diffusing any uprise by anybody who would be in charge of a country who is going to attempt to attack another country. The whole idea of the United Nations was that the nations are united that if someone gets uppity, they will just say, you can't do that. And of course, we have international law and everything that's supposed to solve all those problems. But it's been since the Second World War, since we had the Iron Curtain and the Berlin Wall and all the rest of this nonsense, and the downing of Libya, the downing of Iraq, downing of Syria. The world has been in total chaos since the United Nations has been formed, just as they had planned. And so, you know, here's some happy little North Koreans. But unfortunately, most of the people in the West, they get suckered by all these media propaganda stories. And, you know, I'm sure there's already people out there saying, well, we need to bomb North Korea before they bomb us. And here's a picture of Pyongyang, or however you pronounce that. And you look at this, it's got nice high rises and everything, but there's no vehicles on the freaking streets. Right? There's just no vehicles on the streets. And I went and looked around a lot of YouTube video and that before. And, so take a look at the pictures, and if you get time, go dig out some videos of North Korea, in particular Pyongyang, or however they pronounce that, and you know, get with the program here, because I'm sure right now there's people ramping up. There's always the voices that want to bomb the snot out of this and bomb the snot out of that. And it's just rhetoric, you know. Are the people in North Korea evil? Of course not. The people in Syria evil? Of course not. Is the ideologies of the leaders evil? Probably. But that doesn't have anything to do with the people. The million people that were killed in Iraq, were they all evil? I mean, the leader of Iraq, Saddam Hussein, was an agent of the West. Think about it. We're out of time. Have yourselves a great evening. And look into that chicken ranch, or chicken ranch. You might just get a kick out of that. Anyways, have a great night, everybody. Time's up. We're out of here. Social slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. Caesarship, force of air. Fuck them back, it's only for the war. They shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape. They burn the kids, no one makes gun. Trees, lie to your face, fight. This is Ozzy Skateboard, and you're listening to UCY.